By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ ماشاء اللہ عز و جل hope you're all in good health and iman. Welcome back to our program Rise and Shine. Inshallah عز و جل hopefully inshallah عز و جل we've got a very important, I think, not just for the adults but very important for the youth, especially a topic that inshallah we're going to be discussing about, and then also what we're going to learn from this topic. Inshallah azawajal, we can see how we can improve ourselves of becoming good Muslims as well. Inshallah azawajal. So, Pyar Islam bhaiyo, inshallah azawajal, we're going to have the program. Obviously, we start it off with the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. So, let's start off with the recitation of the glorious Quran. Inshallah, we're going to be listening to verse number 72 to verse number 95, Surah Ash-Shu'ara. Inshallah azawajal, verse number 72. Let's start off from there, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru, jo nihayat meherban, rahm wala.
قال هل يسمعونكم اذ تدعون
فرمایا کیا وہ تمہاری سنتے ہیں جب تم پکارو
او ينفعونكم او يضرون
یا تمہارا کچھ بھلا برا کرتے ہیں
قالوا بل وجدنا آباءنا كذلك يفعلون
بولے بلکہ ہم نے اپنے باپ دادا کو ایسا ہی کرتے پایا
قال افرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون
فرمایا تو کیا دیکھتے ہو جنہیں پوج رہے ہو
انتم وآباؤكم الأقدمون فإنهم عدو لي إلا رب العالمين الذي خلقني فهو يهدين
تم اور تمہارے اگلے باپ دادا بے شک وہ سب میرے دشمن ہیں مگر پروردگار عالم وہ جس نے مجھے پیدا کیا تو وہ مجھے راہ دے گا
والذی هو يطعمني ويسقين واذا مرضت فهو يشفين
اور وہ جو مجھے کھلاتا اور پلاتا ہے اور جب میں بیمار ہوں تو وہی مجھے شفا دیتا ہے
والذی یمیتنی ثم یحیید والذی اطمع ان یغفر لی خطیئتی یوم الدین
اور وہ مجھے وفات دے گا پھر مجھے زندہ کرے گا اور وہ جس کی مجھے آس لگی ہے کہ میری خطائیں قیامت کے دن بخشے گا
رب هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الاخرين
اے میرے رب مجھے حکم عطا کر اور مجھے ان سے ملا دے جو تیرے قرب خاص کے سزاوار ہیں اور میری سچی ناموری رکھ پچھلوں میں
وجعلنی من ورثة جنة النعیم
اور مجھے ان میں کر جو چین کے باغوں کے وارث ہیں
واغفر لأبی انہ کان من الضالین ولا تخزنی یوم یبعثون
اور میرے باپ کو بخش دے بے شک وہ گمراہ ہے اور مجھے رسوا نہ کرنا جس دن سب اٹھائے جائیں گے.
یوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون,
جس دن نہ مال کام آئے گا نہ بیٹے.
الا من اتى الله بقلب سلیم,
مگر وہ جو اللہ کے حضور حاضر ہوا سلامت دل لے کر.
وازلفت الجنة للمتقین وبرزت الجحیم للغاوین,
اور قریب لائے جائے گی جنت پرہیزگاروں کے لیے اور ظاہر کی جائے گی دوزخ گمراہوں کے لیے.
وقیل لہم اینما کنتم تعبدون من دون اللہ هل ینصرونکم او ینتصرون,
اور ان سے کہا جائے گا کہاں ہیں وہ جن کو تم پوجتے تھے اللہ کے سوا, کیا وہ تمہاری مدد کریں گے یا بدلہ لیں گے.
فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ,
تو اوندھا دیے گئے جہنم میں وہ اور سب گمراہ.
وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ,
اور ابلیس کے لشکر سارے.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. الحمدللہ عز و جل, that was the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran, سورۃ الشعراء, verse number 72-95. انشاءاللہ عز و جل will continue with these verses, انشاءاللہ عز و جل, all being good, الحمدللہ. Now, as we always hear that reading the Quran and understanding the Quran and passing the knowledge of the Quran are all virtuous acts, and Muslims should engage themselves in reading the Quran. Now, Quran, there's two things. One of them is reading the Quran and one is understanding the Quran. Yes, there are, alhamdulillah, benefits and blessings of reading the Quran, but we need to understand the Quran as well. How do you understand the Quran? How do you know? Number one, first way it could be that we go and learn the language of the Quran, which is Arabic. Not the spoken Arabic, but the Quranic language we start to learn that. And that is when you understand, when you read the sarf and the nahv, and then you start to understand why this word is here, what this word means. And then, you know, they say that to learn any language, you've got to learn the vocabulary. So this is what we need to do. And this is not a great effort. You know, even if we spend a couple of years reading the books of sarf, and try to get that grip, the understanding of this beautiful language, inshallah azza wa jal, you know, we can achieve that as well. So please try to make that intention to recite the Quran, but they also have the intention to understand the Quran. Now, this morning, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, I had the opportunity to do a dars from Siratul Jinan, which is the commentary of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, I can understand and read Urdu. Maybe someone cannot, but try to sit in a study circle every morning in Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, around the whole world, we have Fajr Madani Halka. That Fajr Madani Halka is where Islami brothers recite at least three verses of Siratul Jinan with the tafsir and the comment, with the commentary as well. And it makes you understand what the Quran is saying. Just like we've heard Abdul Habiba's voice, mashallah, we heard the Quran, the translation. Now what we need to do is we need to sit back and we need to open the tafsir of the Quran, the commentary, and understand. Okay, when Allah Ta'ala, He says, offer salah, what does He mean by offering salah? What are the manners, the etiquettes? They are mentioned in the commentary of the Quran. So I hope, inshallah, that's something that we can do. And it's all on mobile phone. It's all on the mobile phone. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, I've got the Siratul Jinan app on my mobile phone, as you can see on the screen. And it's such a beautiful app that, subhanAllah, it's an amazing. And then, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, with that way, we can, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, try to understand the Quran as well. So inshallah, try to download it. It's on iOS and on also Google Store as well. May Allah Ta'ala reward us and bless us for this beautiful good deed that we're going to be doing, inshallah azza wa jal. Let's go towards our kalam for today, and then inshallah we'll talk about the topic for today as well. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
روک لیتی ہے آپ کی نسبت تیر جتنے بھی ہم پہ چلتے ہیں,
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, a very beautiful kalam پاک that we heard today. May Allah Ta'ala give blessings to the reciter of this naat, alhamdulillah. And the praise of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم will continue even when the world has ended and the day of judgment has arrived. It will still continue because Allah عزوجل is for eternal. Allah Ta'ala will never die. So therefore, because Allah Himself has mentioned in the Quran that Allah and His angels recite durood upon the Prophet, send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And then he addresses the Muslims, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, send salam and salutations upon him abundantly. Now, this hukum is for us, for the Muslims. Now, in the first part of the verse, he says that indeed Allah and his angels send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars, they say that it means Allah Ta'ala sends blessings and mercy upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal shower countless blessings on the mazar or Rozai Park of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for his sake, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our major, our minor, our knowing, unknowing, all the sins that we've done. May Allah Ta'ala forgive them all. If you just joined us, then yes, you are watching Rise and Shine. The topic we're going to be talking about today is health is wealth. Now, it's a broad topic, and there's a few things that I want to really discuss about this as well. Now, as you know, to stay, to do ibadat, to do the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, to do any good things, you need to have the health as well. Now, as people normally say, health is wealth. Yeah, if you've got your health, that is better than wealth. Because if you have wealth and you are not healthy, then what is that wealth going to be any use to you? You know, ask those people who are in hospital, who are at home, and you know, they've got illnesses, they can't get out of their beds, you know, they can't get out of the home, they can't walk properly. I'll tell you, for nearly 10 days, you know, I was out of action because my ankle sprained and it was really, really painful. I could not put my foot on the ground. And this was for 10 days. Alhamdulillah, I did some of the Madani works at home, you know, my laptop, but it was so painful at sometimes that it was unbearable. I couldn't even walk. I was literally crawling on the ground. And then you tend to realize, Ya Allah, you know, how lucky those people are that have got health, that can do all of these beautiful things, that can go out of the house, that can go and visit their family and friends, that can go to the masjid and offer their salah. And those people that can go out and alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal do madani work of Dawat Islami and the deen as well. And for those people who are in hospital, you know, at home, it's very hard for them, because to make yourself go out and whilst you are ill, it's not easy. May Allah Ta'ala give shifa to all of the Muslims who are ill in hospitals, at homes. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant them shifa-i kamila. Now, I'm going to start off with the importance of keeping ourselves away from bad company. Because the health I'm going to be starting off with, and I'm going to be giving some statistics as well today, is about taking drugs and alcohol or substance abuse. Now, this is something that is very, very common in our communities today. Sadly, whichever place you go, you will find that the main majority of the problems are of crime. And most of the crime is committed by those people who are drug users, those people who are alcoholics. They are the main drug pushers. Now, let's just talk about drugs. Maybe I hope there is someone listening to this program, or someone who is watching this program, and that can do tawbah at the end of the program and inshallah make themselves, you know, walk on the path of Sirat Mustaqim. Now, someone posed a question about the taking of drugs, especially hashish, because people think it is better. It is not khamr that befogs the mind. Hashish is this kind of a drug, and people think that that's not khamr. It's not haram. But let me tell you, you know, it says that it dulls the senses and befogs the mind. And whatever does that is haram. So just like alcohol, why is alcohol haram in Islam? But in Islam, why is alcohol haram? Because it dulls the senses and it befogs the mind. So whatever befogs the mind, sometimes people think that, oh yeah, this is okay. Or there, this is okay. Look, smoking is not classed as khamr because it doesn't befog the mind. Yeah, it doesn't manipulate your mind. You are still in your senses. So therefore, the majority of the scholars have said that smoking is not going to be classed as a hamr. But drugs, alcohol, and all of, you know, mazallah, you know, gas, all of these things are hamr, classed as hamr, because they manipulate your mind. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Every intoxicant is khamr and every intoxicant is haram, narrated by Sahih Muslim. So those people who take alcohol, now obviously alcohol is a totally different subject and it's a unique, and Amir al-Sunnah has got a booklet written on that topic as well. It's called Mother of Evils regarding alcohol. And it's mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I said, O Messenger of Allah, there is a drink that is made in our land and is called Al-Mizr, which is made from barley, and another drink called Al-Bit, which is made from honey. He said, every intoxicant is haram. And Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I heard Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu say from the minbar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, the prohibition of khamr was revealed when khamr was made from five things: grapes, dates, honey, wheat and barley. Khamr is whatever befogs the mind. Yeah, so here, no matter what is made from, now grapes is a beautiful fruit. Yeah, dates, alhamdulillah, is a beautiful food. Yeah, it's a beautiful food. So again, with barley, you make your roti with that as well. And then honey, we use honey so often. You know, we put it onto our sandwiches, we put it into our tea. So these kind of things, alhamdulillah, they are blessings of Allah. But when you use them and you dry them and you put more substances inside them, then you turn, basically you turn the ingredients of that, or the main thing of that, when it's changed, then that's where the problem lies. And for those people who think sometimes that it's okay, you know, if this is, I'm only going to take a little bit of that, it's not going to befog my mind, I'm still going to be, you know, in my mind, then these people need to understand, if Islam has said that it's forbidden, then we need to follow the guidelines of Islam. You know, we need to follow the guidelines of Islam. And seriously, any alcoholic, if there is anyone watching, and you saw them young guys, and we see that in the streets, in the town centers, you know, in this country as well. But there's a lot of people that drink alcohol in Ireland, and, you know, they have their own alcohol brand, whatever. And, you know, when you saw them people, no one is going to say that is right. That was totally bang out of order. But, you know, obviously in their country, it's legal to drink. But as Muslims, it's not legal for us to drink as a Muslim, because we follow the beautiful Sharia. So every intoxicant is haram. The general meaning of the words every intoxicant is haram is taken as evidence that whatever causes intoxication is haram. So that could be your alcohol, that could be drugs, that could be sniffing gas, that could be, you know, sniffing any other substances, that could be taking injections. If that manipulates your mind, then that is forbidden, is haram. Because it just boggles your mind. And when you are talking to your parents and you don't know what you are saying, you know, when you are drunk, when you are talking to your mother, you don't even know what you are talking, you know, you don't stand up properly, you know, you ma'azallah, you sometimes even start swearing. And then, you know, sadly, someone sent me a video once, and because I was doing this topic and I was doing a bit of a research that I need to be, you know, have some idea what I'm talking about. And he sent me a video of an alcoholic, and ma'azallah, you know, he was urinating in his clothes. Yeah, he was just standing up and just urinating in his clothes. And then he was vomiting. Astaghfirullah, Muslim should be a clean person. Urinating in your own clothes and vomiting on your own body and your clothes. You can imagine how filthy that would be. And then, you know, those, sadly, you know, the ambulance drivers or the paramedics that are, you know, sometimes when they get too much drunk, they'll come and they have to rescue them. You know, just imagine when they come and see them in that state, you know, how are they going to be helping them as well? But it's their duty, they have to help them. But seriously, you know, when you look at all of these things, you think, Ya Allah, thank you for giving me life in Islam. Because now we understand what the value of aqal is. Because if when you lose your aqal, that's when you start to behave like animals. And seriously, these people were behaving like animals as well. Even if you assume that it is not an intoxicant, it is proven in Abu Dawood that all intoxicants are haram and Allah knows best. Those people who think that, no, this is okay. Why are you saying, well, what do you know about that substance? Yeah, you need to go and ask a mufti sahab. First of all, just keep away from it. And I would always say, you know, to say to people, even smoking, yara, get away from it, man. You know, you're spending nearly 25 to 30 pounds. I did a research and it was like 20, 30 pounds a day. One person smoked 30 pounds a day, smoked 2 packs of cigarettes every single day. Now, when I do my calculations, so basically, he was smoking 30 cigarettes a day. Yeah, so if you times that by 365, that's like 10,950 pounds every year people smoke. And the guy has been smoking for nearly 30 years. Now, if you times that by 30, that's like 328,500 pounds. You can just imagine what you could do with that. 10,000 pounds can take you for Hajj every single year. 10,000 can take the whole family to Umrah every single year. 10,000 pounds can feed nearly a village in Pakistan. Yeah. And that 30 pounds a day that you spend on smoking, and that 10,000 pounds, if we say 10,000 pounds, yeah, we divided it by 12, that's like 912 pounds that a person smokes. That's nearly 2 lakh rupees. 2 lakh rupees a month is a very good wage for a normal person in Pakistan. That could feed his family. But you are smoking it away. You're just putting it into the thin air. You know, just imagine how much you can help. And if you smoke, that's just your nasha. Yeah, that's your habit. Yeah, it's an addiction that you have. What do you get out of it? I get scoon out of it. But do you really get scoon out of it? No, you don't. Because once you start to go back into the routine, then you become a persistent smoker. Yeah, or if you're taking drugs, you become a persistent drug dealer, a persistent alcoholic. Now, because of these things, just imagine the, you know, the knock-on effect of that as well. So what are you benefiting? As a Muslim, benefit the Muslim Ummah. The Muslim Ummah needs you today. The Muslims need food. Muslims need water. There are so many people that are dying because they can't get enough food or water to drink. And you are smoking them away. Please, come forward. Help. Do not do things that will lead you towards intoxication. Like smoking, I know a lot of lads that start to smoke, they end up, you know, doing drugs, they end up smoking alcohol because the society isn't good. You know, you won't see, you know, a majority, you won't see an imam of the masjid taking a smoke, would you? I know that you might be thinking, yeah, I know of one, but you'll have to think about that, wouldn't you? You know, and then you'll have to count on your fingers how many you know. But how many people, you know, those who do not take alcohol and is trying to think of all these kind of things. And I've seen every person that I have seen that, you know, I've been to the real world as well. You know, I've had my friends that used to go to school or college with me as well. And as soon as they ended up smoking, you never see them again. Where are they today? Ma'azallah, someone's gone on to drugs. Someone's gone on to alcohol. Someone's gone on to, you know, car theft. Someone's gone on to credit card fraud. Is why? Because they met the wrong people in there. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Ta'ala for saving me because, you know, these guys, they went onto the straight, wrong path. And, you know, it's like they'll take you with them as well. And seriously, I always thank Allah Ta'ala that if I was not a Hafiz of Quran, then I would have really struggled because, you know, majority of, you know, people, that's when they started to go wrong. And then sadly, a few years later, you hear, oh, so-and-so's passed away. So-and-so went into drugs, he's passed away. If I count on my fingers, there's about 3 people that I know that I used to be going to school with, and they're no longer in the world. There's another 3 people that I know that lived in the community that used to go to the masjid with us are no longer in the world. And there's a couple of people that I know because of the bad habits that they had of drinking and alcohol and drugs and all that, you know, they've totally lost their minds. They've lost their families, you know. One of them, alhamdulillah, in a good way, you know, he went to the rehab center and he's rehabbed himself and mashallah, he's okay, he's better now. But it just makes you understand and realize, you know, how people are suffering out there today. The one who consumes a little or a lot, so there is no amount set that even if I drink one sip of alcohol, it doesn't matter, it's only one sip. Or if I just take one smoke, with drugs inside it, yeah. If I take that, it doesn't matter. It's only one cigarette. And it says that Even if you consume a little or a lot, the person will be subjected to the punishment for drinking. 80, you know, and then, so here, we believe that if he is a Muslim who believes that intoxicants are haram, you know, so for that person, there is punishment as well in the world and in the hereafter as well. And we've got the daily reminder that's ready, inshallah. Let's take our daily reminder for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's luminous companions, blessed companions, had a great level of taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite being dwellers of paradise, they were told on earth that they'd be in paradise. Quranic verses attest to this. Some companions were even mentioned by name. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam mentioned their name and said they are in Jannah. The likes of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan. Uthmanu fil Jannah. But how much taqwa did they have? How much did they still fear Allah? We learn from narrations like the following. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu says, on the day of judgment, if I'm told to stand between paradise and hellfire, and I'm not aware which way I'm going to go, whether to paradise or to hellfire, then I would prefer, before any announcement is made regarding this, that I turn to ashes on the spot, rather than wait for a hukam that you are to go here or there. This was the fear that penetrated every vein of their heart, their body. And they got this from the court of the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ was the most God-fearing in the entire creation of Allah Jalla wa'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Sahaba, grant us a drop of this fear of Allah, taqwa Allah, that they possessed.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If you just joined us, then welcome to our program, Rise and Shine. And alhamdulillah, azawajal, we've got a very beautiful guest, mashallah, all the way from London, mashallah, Waseem bhai. Waseem Attari, alhamdulillah, azawajal. Waseem bhai is our head of department for translation. So all the books that we have translated in English, alhamdulillah, Waseem bhai is the head of that, and he's joined us live from London as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Waseem bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal. Habsab, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal. Jazakallah khaira, Waseem bhai. I know, mashallah, you're a very busy person. Let Allah bless you. We're talking about health is wealth. Now, it's to do with everything. I've just started off talking about some drugs abuse. And we've only been talking for a few minutes anyway. So, Waseem bhai, the ground is there. We're just talking generally about our health, how important it is to stay healthy so that you can do the work of the deen. So, mashallah, I'd love to hear your blessed Madani pearls as well, inshallah.
MashaAllah, first of all, you've chosen a very beautiful topic, very beautiful subject, and very relevant to the day and age we're living in. In fact, it would be relevant in any day and age, but especially the time in which health issues are at a rise, and where we see many, many health problems and several other diseases which are appearing, which we never heard of. So this is a very important topic, mashallah, which you've brought forward. And health is wealth. Just looking at the topic, it explains everything about health. What a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala health is. And we need to appreciate health before an illness. And truly, Hafsab, a person appreciates his health once he becomes ill. So this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should look after. And of course, why do we want to be healthy? So that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly and in a better manner.
Sometimes what happens is when they don't take care of their health, and when they end up, ma'azallah, in hospitals, or when they end up being ill at home, that's when they tend to realize how important wealth is, health is. And you know, they say that if you need to ask someone about health, ask a person who is ill. And I went to hospital, funny enough, the other day, And someone rang me up and they said that they've been ill in hospital. I thought, Alhamdulillah, Madrindah, one of the nek amal is to go and to visit people in hospital. So I went there and I saw this guy in the bed, and he was there in his own separate room, and he was crying, and he goes, Hafizab, make tawbah for me. Please do help me. I want to get out of here. I'll come on the Madni Kafle with you. You come and invite me for Ijtima. I promise you I'll come to the Ijtima. Well, I need to get out of this hospital. And I said, look, inshallah, you know, you've got the good intentions now. But then he realized how important he is.
Well, like you said, this is the human psyche, that once a blessing is taken away from him, then he values it, then he appreciates
Allah,
it.
Allah.
At the moment, we are healthy, we are fit and fine, everything. We don't realize what a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is. Just if you ponder upon it, Afsab, alhamdulillah, we've been given eyes. Many people have been given, as we can see, the sight is there for us. But have you ever stopped for a second during the day and thanked Allah Almighty for this beautiful blessing that we've been blessed with?
Allah,
if you want to really and really truly appreciate and value or understand the value of an eye, then ask a blind person. Ask a blind person who perhaps would yearn just to behold his parents, who would just long to, you know, he would just want to see something, but there would be darkness in front of their eyes. So health from every perspective definitely is something that we should be appreciating, and we should be looking after ourselves. You see, Afsab, this body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it also has certain rights upon us. We ought to look after it. Now, if we don't look after it, if we, the term that we say, use and abuse, if we do the same thing with our bodies, we don't sleep on time, we don't sleep properly, we don't give it proper rest, then ultimately we'll be harming our own body and consequently our own selves.
There are a group of people that say, my body, my rules. You know, that is my body, I can do whatever I want with it. You know, I can do whatever I want, it's up to me. But if you remember the verse of the Quran, Surah Takasur, the last verse, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You know, every blessing that Allah Ta'ala has given us, every blessing will have to be answerable to Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment. So when people say, my body, my rules, it's not your body and it's not your rules. It's what Allah Ta'ala has given you, and it's the rules of Shariat, the rules of Allah that will be always counting.
Indeed, Afsab. And because of sleep deprivation, because of why does sleep deprivation happen? Because of our unscheduled routine that we follow. And because of this, several other illnesses and diseases, they appear. Now, you know, the era we're living in, the takeaway era, the eating out environment. Yeah. Now, many diseases and illnesses obviously do appear because of this very culture as well. But at the end of the day, Afsab, having all these desires of the nafs, all these luxurious items that we want to enjoy throughout our lives, look at the price that we are paying. We unfortunately fall prey to sleep deprivation. Sleep is one of the biggest blessings you can ever have. You see those people there are certain people who just lie down and straight away they go to sleep. But then there are some people who spend the entire night sleepless. In the morning, they'll be tired. They'll have fatigue apparent on the signs of fatigueness apparent on their faces. The eyes will go all red because they couldn't go sleep. They are sleepy. They want to go to sleep, but they wouldn't be able to go to sleep.
You know, funny enough, I had someone coming in to get some tawizat the other day. And you know, when he told me, he goes, I have not slept for a minute for 3 days. You think to yourself, for 3 days, you know, and you know, alhamdulillah, we're lucky that, you know, we get our sleep. Maybe it might not be enough sometimes, but at least we can get to sleep. And this guy's not been to sleep for 3 days. And like you said, you can see it apparent on the face, on the eyes, you know, that his eyes were so swollen, they were so red. And, you know, subhanAllah. And then when I looked at him and I said, Ya Allah, thank you, that sleep is a very big ni'mat. You certainly right, Imash.
Alhamdulillah. And I've said, in the midst of all this, when we're talking about the health issues, the cerebral diseases, etc., when we look at the solution to all these issues, the solution lies in following the sunnahs of the Holy Prophet. The sunnahs of Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, they're so beautiful that they not only beautify our afterlife, our hereafter, our grave and our barzakh, but also our worldly life also get better just by following the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ. Just adopt the sunnah of eating. How should we eat? What should we eat? the manner of eating, how much, what quantity should be eaten. Just abiding by this very sunnah will make us healthier and fitter. And the beautiful hadith of the Prophet والسلام, that fast and you'll become healthy. What a comprehensive and beautiful hadith this is. As many scientific researches, if you look at them today, the medical researches, they give you a mindset, or they have brought a new treatment known as intermittent fasting, where they tell their patients to fast. I think it's fast one day after the other. And they themselves are persuading, encouraging their patients to fast after every other day. So the Prophet والسلام, has already told us approximately 1400 years ago that fasting will become healthy. And then the Sunnah of the Prophet والسلام, of fasting on Monday and Thursday, and many Ashiqani Rasul devotees of the Prophet والسلام, in the religious environment of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, follow this beautiful Sunnah of the Holy Prophet والسلام.
Waseem bhai, jazakallah khaira for your precious time. Allah Ta'ala reward you and bless you. And inshallah, Azrael, we're going to try to contact you again, inshallah, during the month. Jazakallah for your time.
Jazakallah. Thank you so much. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Azawajal. Years of you as Madani channel. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, Waseem bhai from London, our translation head of Dawat Islami UK. MashaAllah, doing some fantastic job. Him and his team, MashaAllah, dedicated on bringing us, especially the English literature, to our youngsters. And now we need to read them. If these guys are, mashallah, spending their hours and time translating these books for us, we need to at least try to read them. I seriously have made this intention. Whatever happens, inshallah, I'm going to choose a book. We were talking to Mufti Qasim Saab when he came to the UK, and I was shocked. He says that, you know, he read a book which is 873 pages long, from Pakistan to the UK on the flight. He read 873 pages. And then he told us how it was possible, because he said that some of the things that were being mentioned in that book, I already read them. Basically, the one of the hadith was in another book, has been in this book as well. So he goes, because I read the hadith, I skipped to the next one. And he goes, by the alhamdulillah, I read the whole book now. So he knows where this hadith pak is in the book. Why shall we not read them? Amir Ahle Sunnat has written books after books. He leaves his family. He goes to, you know, abroad. He stays there alone, trying to write books for us. And when they are printed, they come to the Maktabatul Madina and we sell them next to nothing. Seriously, these books that we are selling on Maktabatul Madina, look at the Quran Kanzul Iman. This big, A4 size, and it's this thick. It's got more than 1,000 pages. There's a book on Maktabatul Madina I read the other day, like Fazane Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Two volumes, and I think each volume has roughly about 700 to 800 pages. So for those viewers, you know, those who are, you know, trying to learn something, the beautiful books here, try to read the books of printed by Maktabatul Madina, because one, it's in a good print. Second, it's an easy version of printing. And there's loads of books available in English. Fazane Sunnat, written by Amir al-Sunnat, nearly 1,200 pages. Again, A4 size. So get these books and read them. Inshallah, we're going to go towards our daily hadith for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Rizq, which is known as sustenance, is something that we all need to fulfill our basic necessities. So let us listen to two lightnings for increasing rizq. The Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by one of his companions who said, "O Messenger of Allah, the world has turned its back upon me." He replied, "Do you not remember what the angels glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla with, by blessings of which rizq is given? When Fajr begins, recite Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi Subhanallahi al-Azim Astaghfirullah." The companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu committed this to his memory and left. He returned after a few days and exclaimed, "O Messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wealth of the world came rushing to me, such that I did not know what to take it and where to put it." Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains how a man complained of his poverty to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reply, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Give salam to your family. And when you enter your home, if nobody is inside, present salam to me and recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad." meaning all of Surah Ikhlas once. The companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu acted upon this and became so wealthy that he began distributing his wealth amongst his neighbors and his relatives. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If you've just joined us, then Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. We're talking about health is wealth. Now, I was talking about drugs abuse. Now, because Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you know, Muslims, sadly, we've got an increase, but we still, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, have many, many Muslims, even youngsters as well, who are sadly taking drugs and alcohol, but Alhamdulillah have repented. So it's not all doom and gloom. We have many, mashallah, because knowledge is so common and it's so easy to gain nowadays. You can have online classes, you can have face-to-face classes, you can have virtual classes. You know, there's so many ways that you can learn. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, the rate of drugs and alcohol abuse in Islamic groups are quite often lower than other groups as well. And one of the reasons is because of, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, the Holy Quran, and also those, especially those people who are religious. MashaAllah, deeni. Sometimes people say, oh, you're too religious. Alhamdulillah, if I'm religious, you know, there's more chances. I'm not saying non-religious people only take drugs. What I'm saying is, if you are religious, you know, you follow your deen, you follow your sunnah, there are far more less chances that you're going to be drifting away from that. Yes, the shaitan is going to try his best. The shaitan actually only tries on religious people. Non-religious, you know, those who don't offer their salah, don't read the Quran, kuch ka kyun nahi karne, bas kar bhej de, bas takde rehne social media, unne kya shaitan karsi, ona asi theek hai, o mare na lo ji, ocho mari madad karo. I'm telling you, they're the helpers of the shaitan now. How? Because they'll say to people, oh, bo molvi bani ja so tu sa, oh, masjid na jao, maazallah, molvi bani ja so. So what are they doing? Shaitan ta koni? Shaitan's not there. They are now helping the shaitan. Don't worry, bro, we're helping you. Yeah, they're helping the shaitan now. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran as well that, you know, shaitan, he will play tricks on you. Sometimes you might be thinking that I'm doing something good, but you're not doing anything good, you're doing bad. You'll find loads of these people, Quran padho, boona padhya karo, maazallah, dhama kharab ho jaisi. Yara, Quran padhne, dhama kharab hona, ya, you know, dunia mein taaleem karne, dhama kharab hona. And you see, Nigran-e-Shura once mentioned that this person, you know, liberal person, what he did was, he walked past a student of hadith and he goes, what are you doing here reading the hadith? People have got to the moon. Log channa tak pochi gaye, tu aja hadith padhna. Yeah, you're still stuck in the olden times reading the hadith. People have got to the moon. Yeah, and the person, that young boy, mashallah, ek alim deen hai, a student of the deen, you know, hadith padhna hai. Do you think, mashallah, he's going to have you up there, isn't he? So he says, Baba ji, you know, have you been to the moon? He goes, no, I haven't. He goes, you've not been to the moon. You've not studied the hadith. I'm still better than you. At least I've studied the hadith. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that going to the moon is better than studying the hadith. It's nowhere near to that. Reading the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, getting the knowledge of the Quran is everything, alhamdulillah. So because of you acting upon the deen, because of you being religious, there's more chances that you will keep away from all these things as well. Allah Ta'ala keep us all safe. And seriously, it's really bad and sad, you know, when you talk about it as well, how our Muslim ummah is going towards this trend. Our youngsters on the street now, whose turn is it? How can we help them? We're going to tell you after filler. If you want to fill yourself, let's watch this filler and I'll come back inshallah. So sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, there are so many different types of structures and organs in our body. And today I want to briefly focus on one of them, and that is the neurons. So these are the nerve cells. And do you know how many do we have? A human brain contains 86 billion neurons, which form around 100 trillion connections with each other. Allahu Akbar. So the latest estimates, if I could compare it, the latest estimates for the number of stars in the Milky Way is somewhere between 200 and 400 billion. So close, but the human brain certainly doesn't quite stack up. But still, if you think about the number of connections, and they are way more than the stars in the Milky Way. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, think, who gave us the brain? Who gave us these neurons? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created this majestic beauty of the intricate structures of the brain. And when they work together, we have this highly functioning human capacity, this brain which achieves wonders. It is that brain, it is these connections which are helping us achieve all these modern inventions, the developments, the advancements which we are seeing, all thanks to these incredible connections in the human brain, these neurons coming together, working together. What have I done in return to thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for these connections? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave me this brain. Have I ever used this brain in an action which shows my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if I don't, then I need to remember that when a person is struck with a stroke, look at the number of neurons which a person loses. And it's mentioned that in patients experiencing a typical ischemic stroke, 120 million neurons, that is 830 billion synapses or connections, and that's equivalent to nearly 447 miles of myelinated of nerve fibers are lost each hour of stroke. That then tells us and perhaps make us recognize the significance of this human brain. So what we need to do is to use this brain to spread the deen of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To use this brain to thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to say alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And that's what is going to help us demonstrate of a gratitude. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala may give even more barakah and enhance our brain power as a result. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Jil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, I just want to reiterate this. Another thing that is quite common is substance inhalants. You know, sometimes you see these little silver, gas little bottles. People used to inhale gas before. And all this, why all this? Why is this happening? Obviously, you know, when you don't have the right group of people around you, then this is exactly what's going to be happening. You know, you tend to go on to this. I know someone who started off from hanging around with the group. One day they offered him a cigarette. Nah, I don't smoke, bro. I don't smoke. I don't do any of that. Yeah. How long are you going to resist? Yeah. This guy says, I resisted them for nearly 2 weeks, every single day. Yeah, you're hanging around with this, but you're not smoking. Yeah, no, I don't smoke. I don't smoke. I don't smoke. And then 2 weeks later, they said to him, at least try it. But try that, Karna. Try it. See what happens. You'll love it, I'm telling you. Yeah, so again, what's happened? These guys are doing the work of the shaitan. Shaitan, Ramana Bhattava, he'll be sat there chilling, looking at these guys. Jalo ji, lage rahe ho, keep on. And they're doing it free of charge as well. Then the shaitan's not even being billed for it as well. Yeah, so what's happening? He says, 2 weeks, I started smoking. And then from smoking, one day we were sat and they were like smoking weed. You know, again, weed is something now, it's not bad. It's not it doesn't intoxicate your mind. You're still in your senses. The weed's all right. So they said that one day they were started to smoking weed. No, guys, I don't want to be going on to that. He goes, I only resisted for a few days. Yeah, you're a woman, man. Tu kuri hai, ai jinani hai, tu peena ne. And they said, chalo, you're calling me a woman. Give it to me. And he goes, I smoked 2 cigarettes, one after the other. Now, what has happened, he's become an addicted person. He's become addicted in that. And that addiction led to him going on to serious drugs. And these are the kind of serious drugs that we're talking about. You know, heroin, cocaine. These are the serious drugs that especially our younger generation. Now, this one here, it says that the figure 18 to 24-year-olds in England entering treatment for addiction for heroin fell 79% in 10 years. Well, you know, it's 10 years. So basically, it fell by roughly about 7%. But so many people are going into the addiction. Every 5 hours, someone died after using heroin. That's a survey. And all this, yeah, is from a website. And it's regarding addiction as well. They've got the phone number, the live chat. You can get help from them as well and everything. And then it says there's been more than 100% rise in the prescription of antidepressants in the UK over the last decade. Prescriptions have increased from 12 to 24 million in the past decade. You know, antidepressant. But the people are depressed. Why? Because of the situation, maybe political situation, maybe because of the financial situation that the world is in. For those people, alhamdulillah, who follow their deen, who offer their salah, you know, these kind of things, they come and they go. You know, in 2020, when the first lockdown happened, people, you know, people were really, you know, they became so depressed that they ended up in hospital. Well, alhamdulillah, Amir al-Sunnah's program, when he came on, Dilu ki rahat, yeah, satisfaction of the heart. Alhamdulillah, when he came, what are you scared of? It's going to come and it's going to go. Enjoy your life. I can remember Rukne Shura when he said that when the lockdown happens, life should go up. Your ibadat should go up. We're not going to get to work. And especially millions of people in the UK, you know, we were lucky that we lived in the UK. You know why? Because even though you were locked at home, you know, you couldn't go out. You couldn't, yeah, and you know, apart from essential travel, you couldn't go anywhere. You know, even Alhamdulillah, Madani Channel was open, you know, during the lockdown as well. And so many people that, you know, the feedback that I got, you know, when people started to watch Madani Channel at home, you know, they got this you know, Alhamdulillah, tasalli, as they say. Yeah, that it's all right. Everything will be fine. Allah Ta'ala will make it easier. Amiri Ahle Sunnah gave us wazaif to read. Allahumma aafini fi badani. Allahumma aafini fi sam'i. Allahumma aafini fi basari. La ilaha illa anta. Yeah, this wazifa Amiri Ahle Sunnah gave. Then he gave us the ta'wizat. So many things that Dawat Islami gave to this ummah during the lockdown as well. And alhamdulillah, I'll be honest with you, I was a bit scared as well because, you know, you've never been in this situation ever before. Now, you know, for a person like myself who's always on and about here, there, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be locked in at home. I only locked myself in for about 2 weeks. But alhamdulillah, when you are locked down, your life should go up. How did life go up? Everyone is locked up. Chalo ji, what are we going to do? Let's get everyone learning the Quran. Let's get the classes started. Alhamdulillah, we had the Madrasatul Madina classes starting. And I myself, alhamdulillah, azawil tahdeese ni'mat ke liye arz karta hun, when everyone was in a lockdown, people like me, alhamdulillah, I mean, I wasn't the only one, but alhamdulillah, I was teaching 20 classes every single day. When I used to sit at 10 o'clock on the laptop, and you know, during the day, I used to teach 1, 2, kalya, individual. I started to teach, alhamdulillah, we finished Madani Qaida in one of the classes. And this was like until about 11 p.m. at night. And then I used to go read my Isha Salah, get some rest, wake up in the morning, 7 days a week, nonstop. And I was buzzing from it. So whilst, you know, many, many people were depressed, doing nothing at home, watching social media and all these films and videos. Oh, film, dimaag kharab kar rahi hain, they boggle your mind. And people were doing all of that. While alhamdulillah, we were there, mashallah, teaching the ummah. We had online classes. We had online courses. There was so much going on, alhamdulillah. Then we had Madani Channel. You know, mashallah, it was an honor, to be honest with you, that, you know, we are very, very lucky that we have Dawat Islami today. And I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for Dawat Islami, you'd have more people. You know, this figure would have gone up, you know, well, it's 100%. It would have gone up by so many percents because the Muslim ummah, especially the Muslim ummah, people were losing the plot. I know one of my friends whose dad was, you know, he was at home, he used to watch the news. What do you watch on news? So many people, thousands died. So many people are, you know, they've got the virus. So many, there's never any good news on the news. And for his dad, he was so depressed. He ended up in hospital. And now he was scared to go to hospital because I've heard that whoever goes into the hospital never comes out alive. Well, if your death is written in hospital, you're not going to get out of alive. But alhamdulillah, as well, it wasn't the case. It was just like scaremongering. Oh, there's 1,000. I got a news from someone. You know, Bradford graveyard, 1,000 graves already dug up. you know, things are getting out of hand. Please, we need your help. We're desperate. Astaghfirullah, nothing like that. Tawakkulu ala Allah. Think good, be good. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala madad karsi. Read the Quran, offer your salah. Inshallah, nothing will touch you. If anything does touch you, is from Allah. Do sabr. Allah will inshallah increase your ranks and will give you shifa-e kamila. We're at the end of the program. Jazakallah khairah watching. Please take care of yourselves and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun